staff want to welcome you to the Pomo Community Services District regular meeting for January 26, 2005. Please join me in the flag salute.
Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Director Persing?
Here.
Director Trotter?
Yes.
Director Lynn?
Here.
Director Eby?
Here.
President Mahalik?
Here. Public comment period. This is a time for the public to comment on any item that is within the jurisdiction of the board that it is not on today's agenda, and presentations are limited to 3 minutes or a little longer. So is there any public comment? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. Item number D is our consent agenda, which includes warrants, board meeting minutes, and survey of surplus equipment. Any comments or questions for staff from the board on
any of these? If I can give a few highlights, maybe I'll answer some
questions. Mr. LeBrun.
Under our handwritten checks, under warrants, we have a check in the amount of $39,000, some change there. That is actually a refund to King Ventures due to a design change in one of their projects. I believe it's, I'd say it wrong if I said it, but an apartment complex or a multi-unit housing complex that initially had been required by CDF to have an on-site fire hydrant, and the cost of the 6-inch service line and on-site fire hydrant, then those fees were paid. And a will search has been issued. Subsequently, they went back to CDF and had an approved design revision that brought that fire hydrant out into the public right-of-way in an area that the district will accept it if when dedicated. And so this was an adjustment in the fees to represent that amount. That was the only point I had on the warrants. Of course, I'll be happy to answer any questions. I did want to bring the director's attention to the minutes where we have the delegates to community committees and standing committee assignments. And just to make sure, we had quite a bit of discussion about that at our last meeting. This is an opportunity to, if there are any changes that are needed here, if we didn't pick that up right, staff didn't get that right, please let us know. And finally, on the surplus equipment, these are four outdated computers that we upgraded our computers. I think that was just about the time I arrived in September, and we are working with Ken Shamardola with the Grover Beach Discovery Center, and we'll be surveying this equipment out and passing that on, less the hard drives, actually. We've worked with Ken, and they're going to pull the hard drives because there's no absolutely sure way that those hard drives can be erased, and just the type of information, customer database information that we have on our computers, we're a little bit cautious there. And Ken assures me that the computers have high value to the Discovery Center without the hard drives. They have plenty of hard drives. They're looking for the processing units. So,
good.
If there are any questions.
Any questions?
I do.
Mr. Wynn.
On this whole consent agenda, I would suggest that on the minutes for our last meeting that item C2, that we just simply say no report. Saying Mr. Anderson did not attend. Other questions come from CDF. I think it's better just to say no report rather than make a personal comment about their person. Small issue. Next, I am curious about the computers. What was the process we went through to sort of decide where we would donate those or let them go?
We haven't really made a decision on where we'd absolutely donate them. I was approached, had a discussion with Mr. Shamardola, and I don't want to get his last name.
Shamardola.
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 Shamardola. And he mentioned that he was with, that worked with the Grover Beach, the Discovery Center there. And I mentioned we had some old equipment in our back room, and that was the process.
Yeah. Nothing. I just know there are a number of nonprofits here in Napomo, the membership of which have been paying fees here in the district over all the time that we've had this equipment. I'm a little surprised. I mean, I wish the people of Grover Beach well, but
I asked Ken about that, and he said that the computers actually go out. They don't only serve Grover Beach as far as putting these computers out to use within the community. And as you know, Ken is very active in the Napomo community, and I can further explore that and get some assurances that those would come back. I believe they go to underprivileged families that can't afford computers, and they offer those free.
I just think of Adana, Adobe, and the Rec Center, and 4-H, and a whole range of other groups here, all of whom are hard-pressed sometimes to come up with equipment.
Well, our policy is usually the board just authorizes surplus in the equipment, and then it's up to staff to determine how.
Within guidelines.
Within guidelines.
And I was curious about the guidelines.
I know they've actually been doing it in Grover Beach. That Discovery Center is now in existence for couple years at least, I think, maybe
probably
even
five.
A little longer.
And I think that's where they're refurbishing. But
that's where they actually refurbish them.
Oh.
They tear them apart, get them operating, whatever it takes, and then distribute them to schools, underprivileged families, nonprofit groups, so on and so forth. So it's a good operation. Mr. Trotter.
I have a question about the warrants. Mm-hmm. I notice you have to pump sewer lift stations once in a while.
That's right.
When they break down, or the solids accumulate, what happens?
The solids and greases accumulate in the lift station. So as a routine maintenance, we have them
pressure-washed. Another way to do that is find a tanker truck of some kind and jet it and pump it at the same time. And the solids are lifted and pumped out. Then you don't have to have it. Vacuum truck.
Okay.
It's something to consider.
Thank
you.
Mr. Eby?
On item E3, there's a mention of two reporters that covered the meetings. It mentions Stephanie and Kirsten. I was just thinking it would be good to put their last names in here in case somebody reads this in the future and wonders who they are. It's Stephanie Fanucani. I won't try to spell it. And Kirsten Flagg, FLAGG.
Yeah. Fanucani is FINUCANE.
You're more daring than I am.
Yeah. Mrs. Wersing, do you have any comments on the agenda? Okay, I have one, and again, it's E3. The item about. Upon motion by Director Wynn, seconded by Board unanimously, agreed to have staff explore televising. And it seems like these special meetings and putting a to have staff explore somehow, yeah, maybe kind of clean that up a little bit. Mm-hmm. There's repetition and the sentence doesn't, I know what it's trying to say, but as it stands, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Any other questions on the surplus equipment, warrants, minutes?
Actually, all we have to do is eliminate the words a flyer and the water bills with.
Yeah, and you need to also eliminate and putting a to have.
Yeah.
That seems to clean it up a little bit. But do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented with the amendments as noted?
So moved.
A second?
I'll Second that.
Public comment?
Public comment? Thank you, Michael. Seeing no public comment, Madam Secretary, will you please call for the vote?
Yes.
Director Rissy?
Yes.
Director Trotter?
Yes.
Director Eby?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Yes. He can't hear, so he's hearing challenged, so he didn't hear that. My name is now President Nguyen. You're Director Verheyle. Okay, moving to administrative items, incorporation update, E1, Mr. LeBrun.
Thank you, President Verheyle. Basically, in December's December 15th regular board meeting, the board heard a presentation of the draft final incorporation study performed by Davis Company, and Mr. Mike Davis made that presentation. At that time, the board directed Mr. Davis to finalize the report, actually directed Mr. Davis to get back to the board with a few questions on recent legislative changes, and then proceed to finalize the report. Attached is Mr. Davis's review of the Assembly Bill 2115, which is basically the legislation that implements Proposition 1A. And in particular, he reviews the impacts of vehicle license fees and how those will impact both currently incorporated cities and cities looking to incorporate in the future. It's the latter group, those cities or entities looking to incorporate in the future that are notably hard hit by these changes in vehicle license fee allocations. Mr. Davis makes the point, I think his final paragraph before his recommendation is particularly telling, in that there are substantial reductions to the vehicle license fee revenue that NAPOMA would otherwise receive upon incorporation. There are a number of incorporation movements around the state have basically come to find with these recent changes that the efforts are no longer fiscally feasible. With that stated, Mr. Davis makes his recommendation, and staff agrees that we final this report and file it and look then with the report. We understand that every time a report of this nature, the moment it's final, it's out of date. There will be changes, you know, in the next month and in the next 5 years. But I think it's important to finish this phase of our work toward incorporation and then keep abreast of the changes that occur as we go in the future and use this as a basis in time and understanding where it's at. So staff's recommendation is your honorable board to direct staff to have Mr. Davis prepare and submit a final report. There was also a question as to the area of study and a drawing or a figure supported by Mr. Davis, and it was brought up in our meeting in December that areas of Cypress Ridge, Palo Mesa, Calendar, Garrett, and Woodlands were not included in the study. I believe that the figure is the fact. So with that, if there are any questions?
Any questions of staff?
I have a question.
Question or comment?
Both?
Well.
I think that the Davis correspondence should be made available to Mr. Murray, who is a representative of the community. Have you seen these?
I've seen the most recent one, no.
Okay.
Would like to see.
Yeah.
Okay. Any further questions, comments? We'd like to open it to public comment on the incorporation update.
Guy Murray, Pomo resident, ratepayer and CSD, Pomo business owner.
I don't know what the most recent letter says, so I don't think I can comment intelligently on that part. I would like to see that letter. I would like to know if there was a conclusion by Mr. Davis in that letter with respect to his opinion on the fiscal feasibility impact on the POMOS study that he previously had made available and is on the NCSD website. I've read that. I don't know what he said, if anything, in terms of his opinion at this point, or if he's waiting to incorporate that into a final report. I'd be interested, I'm sure the community would be interested as well to hear about that. Regardless, I think the NCSD has done a good job thus far in bringing this issue to the public, having the report prepared, paying for that report. And I would like to see them continue in their efforts with assistance from the community on this issue and other issues related to incorporation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Murray. Is there any other public comment? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board and comments on this. Mr. Wynn, let's start with you.
I think like most people here in the POMO, I would love for us to have more local control, which means that incorporation is very attractive. But this letter, I mean, his last conclusions were tentative. It looked iffy before he sent this. And then this actually, if anything, makes it worse, the case for incorporation, at least for the next 2 years. We have other issues before this board concerning what ERAF 3 is going to do, and which is not agendized at this moment. But suffice it to say that there are a lot of things that we're waiting 2 years on. And although I think there's steps that we can take and to continue exploring and talking to the community, I think it would be unwise for us to sort of give a great big green light and put a lot of major effort when this is in the situation that it's in. I expressed a couple weeks ago when we met some concern about his one paragraph in his letter. Since it's appended today, I'll raise the same concern. The third to the last paragraph simply says, while efforts are underway to find alternatives that will not affect New City so drastically, these efforts are likely to take at least many months to evolve. I will keep the district advised of those efforts and or any specific actions NPOMA should consider for reversing this loss. My concern is I would hate to have Mr. Davis on a hourly basis for the next 2 years being billed. And his time is valuable, but constantly sending us small reports, small updates, continue to spend more money on this while we don't know that. I mean, I think we have local people that could research this. I know we ourselves have access on the internet to look at some of these issues. So I'm very much in favor of staff recommendation that we thank him, that we ask him to submit the final report, and in some very gracious way, without being offensive, I would like to sort of stop paying him until we're at some point that we're ready to move ahead more vigorously.
Mr. Eby?
I feel the same way. I think he's done a job that his talents allowed him to do, and we in the community didn't know how to do the detail that he's gone through. And I think we ought to take the information that he has and use that as the basis for going forward or any decisions on incorporation in the near future. So I would support thanking him and asking for the final report.
Okay. Mrs. Worsing?
Yes. Well, I'm disappointed, but with the economy the way it is and everything for local sales tax and stuff, I think that we should maybe do every 6 months gather reports and see how things are going in that direction and report back, you know, like I think Mr. Wynn and myself maybe could gather information and keep it on file and see how it's doing compared to what it's doing now and see what the prospects because I believe that most people in NPOMO would like to incorporate. But we don't want to cause hardships So that would be my suggestion.
Okay, Mr. Trotter.
The motivation for incorporating is, the primary motivation is to get local control. And I have asked in the past, and yet we've not yet received it, some kind of a chart that tell us before city is instituted and after city is instituted, what every function, permits for building houses, road improvements, drainage, and all the things that might occur, it would be helpful to the community to see in a graphic form of some kind how each one of these functions are going to be treated. City and no city. And I agree with the comments that have been made regarding incorporation. I think it's a good idea, but we must get the community behind us.
Okay, well, I also agree we need to request for the final report and then hence not spend any further monies. There are some efforts I feel that the community can put together, and that's a NAPOMO vision, maybe we already know the steps for incorporation. That's from LAFCO information. And I do believe in one of Mr. Davis's presentation, he did have a chart that showed which functions go to which entity, and in some cases you have a choice, whether it's you, the county, and you pay the county, or you take it under your, or you hire somebody to perform those. And that's it for me. So at this point, like I said, I still feel that Mrs. Worsing, Mr. Wynn, working with key people in the community can start the outreach effort that needs to come and get a NAPOMO vision, which is one of the documents we need to submit to LAFCO for incorporation. And hopefully that would get more of the community online and behind the effort, even though it's not going to happen as soon as we would like it to happen. So is there a motion?
I don't have a motion, but I just want to make one more point before we do make a motion, and that is, given what his report is going to show us, he's collected figures and costs and so forth. He's essentially established a template that once he's done with this, lay people, like our own incorporation committee on the NCSD and the public, can update that with information that now they know where to go to get the information. We can keep the status of it current locally by just using his report as a template, updating his figures, and we can get a feel for the degree of feasibility that this is as time goes on. So I think that it's a valuable document, and it's something to build on that we can keep current on our status.
And that's my feeling, too. I agree with you, Mr. Eby. We do need a motion to make a recommendation to staff.
I'll make that motion.
Okay, for requesting the final report from Mr. Davis.
Yes.
Okay.
And would you be willing to add the phrase "in completion of our contract"?
And completion of our contract. Would you be willing to make that? And second. Okay, Madam Secretary, call for the vote.
Director Trotter.
Yes.
Director Worsing.
Yes.
Director Wynn.
Yes.
Director Eby.
Yes.
President Vahali.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Secretary. Moving on to item number E2, it's the investment policy, our fourth quarter report. I hope your eyes didn't glaze over when you were going through this or any of the other financial comments, questions from the board.
I have a question. This is probably a question that Lisa can ask or answer. The amount of money in the pooled investment account, the rate of interest it's getting looks like it's about commensurate with money market rates. But the amount in the money market fund in the Mid-State Bank and the savings The rate of interest, 0.1% and 0.25%, is that a misprint or is that really how low it is?
Lisa Cognuda, Assistant Administrator. That is really what Mid-State Bank is paying right now.
Yeah, it's low.
Is that quarterly? So these numbers would be times 4 on an annual basis? No.
No.
I was just surprised. You know, I'm not going to second guess you that you could get a better rate, but I was just surprised that the rates are that low for an amount of $40,000.
Well, you have to remember that balance also fluctuates on a daily basis because that might have been the balance on December 31st, but we paid bills on January 2nd and basically depleted that $41,000. It's a very active revolving account that we use at Mid-State Bank.
And therefore, those usually pay a very low interest rate.
That's
because
correct.
They have no guarantee of funds.
There's two primary factors here. One is safety, mm-hmm. And you know you have that. The second, and Lisa just said it, the administrative activity for an account like this on the part of the bank is substantial. They've got to work with it every day. And that's another one of the reasons it's as low as it is.
And that is why I try to keep a very low amount in our savings account. Anytime we get a large sum of money, I do immediately transfer it to the LAIF account so that we earn a higher interest rate on the money.
Okay. I'm educated. Thank you for the information.
You're welcome.
Any other questions or comments for staff?
I have a question.
Yes, Mr. Wynn.
Maybe I'm misreading this chart, but the LAIF account rate of interest is 2.0 in the fourth column, and in the seventh column it's 1.56, and that's the same account?
Yeah, last year.
One is for 12/31/03 and the other is 12/31/04.
So they dropped?
No, it actually went up.
It went from 1.56 up to 2.
Two.
During the year.
It's at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So it's a comparison to last year, same.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But when the state record what they get on this account, they're getting something like 4.5%.
Right, and I think that
so they're taking roughly half of it
for administration of the account. That's what it appears.
It's a pretty sweet deal for the state.
Actually, in the LAIF account, in the LAIF answer book, the state statute requires administrative costs not to exceed 0.5% or 1% of the earnings quarterly. So what they do is they calculate the total interest earnings for all of the LAIF accounts. They take off the administrative charge and then apply the remaining interest to all of the LAIF accounts. If you look at attachment 2, it shows, which I don't know if Michael wants to put that up, in the LAIF account. This report that's in your packet is actually an excerpt out of the December 31st LAIF handbook. They issue this quarterly on the internet, and it actually shows all the diversity of investments that the LAIF account has, as well as the percent invested in those amounts. It doesn't actually show the interest rate earned on each of those investments. There are other tables in the report that shows the fair market value and the accrued interest. And so if you'd like to see more of that, I could direct you to the website and you could look at each investment and how much is earned. But it is a pooled interest, but we are only getting charged 0.5% for the management of our money, which is very good. If we went out and hired a financial consultant, we'd definitely be paying a lot more in administrative costs for that.
Yeah, 3-4%.
At least.
At least, unfortunately. Any other questions of staff? Public comment on this? I think I opened it up. Not yet, but is there any public comment on the our investment policy fourth quarter statement? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. Can Mr. LeBrun?
And it's not included here on the staff report, but the staff needs recommends the board accept and file the second quarter, mm-hmm. Fourth quarter report of the financial policy.
Okay. Mr. Seitz, can we just do that by an aye vote?
Yes.
So we still need a motion and a second to receive and file?
So
Mr. Wynn move.
Second.
Mr. Eby second. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? So be it.
Was there a no vote?
No. There was
no abstentions.
Vote. Was there an abstention?
No.
Okay.
I raised my hand.
Okay. Okay. Item number E3, district investment policy for 2005. Mr. LeBrun, or
I'll take the lead, and once the questions get beyond the surface, then we'll call Lisa back up to the podium. But this is the board's opportunity to review and consider its investment policy, and that's in accordance with the government code section that requires an annual review of investment policy to be held in a public meeting. Staff's recommendation is that the board approve the resolution to adopt an investment policy for 2005 that is identical to the investment policy of 2004, and that is with a focus on safety and liquidity, followed by yield in that order, and understanding the fact that safety and liquidity will drive that yield down, but as a public agency, safety is of utmost importance, and as a water and sewer district, liquidity of our funds in the case of an emergency is also equally important. Okay. If there are any questions?
I'd just like to note that there is a small typo in the actual report, and the initial reference to Government Code Section 53646 is correct, and the second reference to 52646 is incorrect.
There's another typo on page 3 under C, yield. I think the last word should be met rather than meet.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carter. Any other comments from the board? Basically, we'd be going back into the local agency investment fund but it is safe, it is liquid, yield is not too good, but
probably 99% of the public agencies in the state use that fund.
It is quite a large
amount
of monies in there.
Yeah.
50 some billion.
Yeah. There it is, actually. As of December 31st, $53 billion in that fund.
I got a comment.
Okay, Mr. Eby?
I don't want to rock the boat today, but in the future, we might want to, when we consider this again, we might want to prioritize the objectives. Compliance, obviously, should probably be number one. Safety and liquidity should be prioritized, and then Mike mentioned that yield is subordinate to those, so if it was specifically prioritized, it might be a better guide for anybody who is administering it or monitoring it. But I'm not going to make any motion that we change it today. You might want to consider that next time around.
Right.
Just to prioritize those.
Thank you.
Okay, I'd like to open it to public comment on our investment policy for this coming year. Seeing no public comment, bring it back to the board. We now need a motion as to directing staff to proceed with our last, proceed with our investment policy. And this would be resolution 926.
I'll make that motion.
Okay, I have a motion from Mr. Trotter. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Second for Mrs. Wersing. Madam Secretary, call for vote.
Director Trotter?
Yes.
Director Wersing?
Yes.
Director Eby?
Yes.
Director Wynn?
Yes.
President Fahey?
Yes. Okay, our next item, number E4, is our certificate of participation. Our certificates of participation. This is an update on the status of that account. Mr. LeBrun.
Thank you, President Verheilig. This is previous board direction. It was requested that the certificates of participation, otherwise known as our bond funds, that we review the current status of those funds and projects that we are funding. As the board is aware, and we've discussed in previous meetings, what's known as ERAF 3, or shift of local tax dollars to the state, has impacted us considerably for the next 2 years, and I believe that's why these questions came up initially. And it's appropriate to review the bonds on attachment one. The original estimation of projects that were going to be done with the $4 million of bonds is presented, and you can see that three of these projects have been completed to date. We've actually tabled Project 4, which was looking at a million-gallon water storage tank up on Sheehy Road. And then we have two projects that have not been initiated to date, two projects in process. Not initiated to date is a construction of a water main along Palmer Road between Willow and Arden Way, and then the installation and replacement of fire hydrants. While that's an ongoing project, it's not being funded by COP dollars. Then we have the Hermick well, which you can see our original estimated amount was $100,000. That's changed significantly, as this board knows, as that project has gone from redrilling a shallow well to actually going into a much deeper formation, a deeper well. And finally, we have CEQA and preliminary engineering in process on our Santa Maria intertie pipeline. Now, the second sheet is just a review of the balance of that fund. As you can see, first we have the summary of bond issue, where the $4 million bond issue actually netted $3.9 million in funds. Then allocation of the funds. Let's see, what do we have here? Fund. Allocation of the funds. The net of the funds is $3.47 million, if you will. And that comes after financial consulting and reserve fund required by law. And that's what you see in that second paragraph there, where we have $180,000 and $249,000 debited against the balance. And that results in then the balance of $3.4 million, if you will, coming down to expenditure on projects. And then we show our three completed projects. debiting against the count, resulting then, and we show some interest gain, amounts of $54,000 in a transfer of issuance fund, and that was out of the issuance account, there was a residual, and that was transferred in. So that's what those positive amounts are, resulting in a $2.1 million balance currently. And then we have disbursements for active and future projects, and estimate for final completion of the Hermrick well, and that's $600,000. That includes amounts that the board hasn't considered yet. Right now, we've just talked about the casing. Once that's complete and this well's test pump, we'll be able to come back to the board with a recommendation for how the well is completed. The Pomeroy, this is again a water line that's between Willow and Aiden Way along Pomeroy. That's a project that was initially tabled by staff after consulting with the county to see that the county has a road project plan there that would significantly change the grades on Pomeroy Road. We want to leave that in the budget. That line would provide an additional point of connection to the Summit Station area and provide much better flow characteristics and redundancy of flow to the Summit Station area. So I think it is a necessary project. I'll be meeting again with the county to see where they're at with the Pomeroy Road project, see what the elevations look like, talk with the engineer. Maybe we can put our water line deep enough. Our fear was that if we put our water line down now and Pomeroy Road significantly changes elevations, we might have to relocate positions of that pipe as they become exposed or get too close to the surface. But so anyway, I wanted to just note that project's still potential. Basically the bottom calculation shows that the balance of these bonds will be used on the Santa Maria Supplemental Water Project. And we haven't put any costs in there yet because as we did with the Rimrock tank site, we expended about $14,000 there, but then we didn't, since that project was tabled, we absorbed that money in normal operating funds and didn't, if you will, assess it against these bond funds. And we'll leave this for actual capital improvement projects that we move forward on. So we'll do the same as we move forward on the pipeline project, and that's becoming an actual project. We'll see. We'll account for it then as far as the expenditures that the board's made at this point. So if there are any questions, I'd be happy to entertain those.
Okay, any questions, comments from the board? Mr. Witt?
I have several. I wonder if item number six, project number six, if that's going to be funded elsewhere. Overall, do we continue to keep all of these projects here, whether they're alive or dead, or do we update this from time to time?
Well, and this first sheet was presented because that's where... This was a piece of history. This is what the board foresaw the use of the bonds to be.
So we would keep it for historical purposes, but we would shift monies.
Right.
Okay. Then the estimated amount, $50,000 for the fire hydrants, if we're going to pay that out of another sum of money, another fund, do we leave the $50,000 there because originally that's what we thought it would be?
Again, just to show that estimated amount and accounting of how we came up with $3.5 million of capital improvement projects to justify a $4 million bond issue is the reason I left it and presented it as it is. But
well, historically we thought that. In other words, if this is just going to be history. We just file it someplace and forget it. But if it's going to be a living document, then shouldn't there be some place where if this $50,000 is going to be spent elsewhere, can't we make a notation under actual amount, something like that, say, to be funded by such and such an account?
Sir.
I think that makes a little better sense. Otherwise, as long as it sits here, we're still going to think that eventually we're going to pay it. That's one thing. Secondly, Willow Road to Aiden Way, let me encourage you to talk to Mary Ann Buckmeyer from the Traffic and Circulation Subcommittee here locally.
Yes.
I can tell you that the county doesn't have this road improvement, even on their first 10 projects to be completed over the next 20 years. And when we realized this a couple of years ago, one of the scenarios we played out is, what if we knowingly put in one that follows a current contour, and then we prepare to replace just those sections that are radically changed if that project ever takes place? There's some question about whether it'll ever be done. And we would all like to see it, but money for circulation around here is really tight. And the Willow Road extension, a number of other things, Mary extension, all of those are going to take higher priority. If it is important to have better fire flow characteristics in some station, and I think we all agree it is.
Right.
If it's going to be 20 years, and I say if, maybe we need to come up with a shorter term solution.
As opposed to waiting
until it's finally done.
I agree, and I will be pursuing that with staff, and I'll check with Ms. Buckmeyer for that matter.
And then my last question was about item number four. I notice that we've called this the Sheehy Road, a storage tank that we thought about as tabled. And I'm a little curious. Maybe I misunderstood or I misremember, but I didn't think we tabled it. I thought we said we wouldn't do it. When you table something, you say it's still there, it's still on the table, it's still lurking out there. And my impression was that we decided, there are better ways to go in that. We're not going to pursue that.
The direction...
So it would maybe canceled instead of tabled.
Okay, the direction I had was withdraw from negotiations, and that's right, we don't intend to pursue it. And so if there was a change in that, we'd be coming back to the board to have new direction. So if the better term in there is dropped or canceled or whatever.
Well, eventually we will build one, though? Or we're just going to not have that ever?
Within the foreseeable future, in my sight into the future is not the greatest focus just yet, but I do not see us in the foreseeable future pursuing a water tank up on Sheehy Road.
No, not on Sheehy, but somewhere in that.
Additional system storage we will be looking for in the future. I think there'll be some. There may be a requirement for storage as we do our intertie pipeline with Santa Maria. That's not yet defined. We have opportunities for additional storage at other locations within the district. We might consider. It's just it came to the point on the Sheehy Road site that the property we had identified and had appraised, the owner respectfully refused our offer.
So, because my concern is that with the Maria Vista project coming online eventually, that we did have a storage problem for fire, or if that was why I felt relieved that we were going to have another additional storage. So we need to maybe pursue this a little more quickly, possibly. Because of once
for
the...
For other sites.
Yes, for different
some other
sites.
Sites.
Yeah,
yes.
Some other sites. And I believe
because
Mr. LeBrun mentioned when we did decide to withdraw from it that other possible site or sites that you had brought up
or
that would be pursued.
Or methods of achieving storage or offsetting storage requirements by having well pumping capabilities and these types of things. And I have discussed that at this point with Jim Gehring, the district's consulting engineer, and asked him to review our storage, and we will be discussing that and making sure that we are meeting, currently complying with regulatory requirements for storage, and then are looking out and making sure we are making plans to increase storage as we get.
And partly converting Summit Station into a hydrostatic zone instead of gravity feed would be yet another form of storage, in a sense. in that it compensates?
Well, I believe it addresses an issue with fire flows and these types of things, but I don't believe it equates to storage.
Okay.
However, the way we complete and outfit the Hermerich well may equate to a storage equivalent. And again, I think with our Santa Maria pipeline intertide, there's a fair potential that we'll be required to have storage depending on what the delivery constraints are that we may have in the final agreement with Santa Maria. And I am confident that we don't have an immediate need to acquire more storage. And then I'll be defining just what that timeline is for additional storage and ensure that the district stays compliant.
The only bottom line I have on number four is that we maybe should characterize that as canceled instead of tabled.
Noted.
And then that would be also in footnote number one where it says tabled, that should also read canceled or withdrawn or something like that.
Yeah, something. I have no problem with that language.
Any other comments?
I got a bunch.
Mr. Eby.
At the risk of being a pain in the anatomy, I've got a lot of questions here because I think we're talking about spending $4 million plus a lot of ratepayers' money on things that I'm not confident we've thoroughly discussed yet. The first question I have is, last month we were told that we were expecting to get this money reimbursed to us by property taxes. And last month we were told that what we expected of $250,000 this year and $250,000 next year won't be coming back from the state. And we were getting a second look of that this month. Do we have any more information on that? Do we expect to get reimbursed?
We don't expect to get reimbursed.
Okay, so we put these bonds up for sale based on the fact that we expected to get it all back. Now, over the next 2 years, we're going to be getting $500,000 less back, and that's going to come from somewhere. And I suspect it's going to come out of our rate increase.
No, if I may. The review that we undertook when we first looked at the CRAF shift was to say, how will the district handle this $250,000 a year shift for the next 2 years? And what we looked at was that our tax reserves, so our reserve account from this tax income, if you will, the income that we receive from taxes, can support the paying of the bonds during the next 2 years, since we're losing the money to the state. So we do have money in reserves of this tax account. Now, not our bond monies. Okay, so we didn't issue bonds, and then we're not using those bonds to pay. But we on the account on the tax. Again, the income from the taxes over the years, we've built up a significant reserve. I don't have those monies in front of me. But so we'll be able to use that reserve for the next 2 years. We'll be depleting our reserves and spending $500,000 of those reserves that we didn't expect to be spending, but it didn't put us in a financial bind or in the red.
But part of our rate increase in the future is to increase our reserves, which we're depleting. So in effect,
We're speaking of separate reserve accounts, but yes,
okay. We
have, as you know, that the district's finances are broken into a number of different divisions.
Okay, we can deal with that when we get to the rate thing, but my main question was, have we given up on the $500,000, and it sounds like it's we think it's lost.
We won't give up on the $500,000.
But we believe it's lost.
It does not look promising.
Okay,
unfortunately.
So we went after this money for two reasons. One is because at that time it was to secure low interest funding, and the second was because we thought we could get paid back. The second purpose is now it's not in existence anymore. It's not a reality, but we do have the money at a low interest rate.
We had hoped that this by letting bonds that our tax income would then be committed to bond payment. And by doing so, that would protect it from the ERAF shift. That didn't happen. We will be returned to, you know, in 2 years from now, we'll see our tax revenues come back and be able to pay the bond debt with that money. In the next 2 years, we'll have to float. We do think that there's, the state has included in this legislation of ERAF 3 a stipulation that that special districts cannot let bonds out and otherwise commit these tax dollars in the future. So we think that, you know, they're recognizing this is a potential or a method of protection. We have ours in place. Staff feels that it might be a good idea to hold on to them.
My next question is on the projects.
Yes.
On item 3, the water line through the park.
Yes.
It says it's complete. I've heard comment from one of the neighbors that there's a scar left in the park from that, and that was supposed to have been revegetated to its previous state, and that isn't the case. And I noticed that you have some money left over. Are there any plans to repair the scar in the park from the pipeline?
I'll have to check into that. I don't know. I could have.
Yeah, I would like to comment on that, working with county parks to some degree. What was there primarily was veldt grass, which is a non-native. That's not something that the county would want replanted in maybe not this spring, but by next spring, since it's still surrounded by veldt grass. You probably won't notice the difference anymore.
Excuse me. Yeah. I would suggest if we want to discuss an issue in regards to this, that we agendize it as a separate item. Because I don't believe that this is the appropriate place to be talking about whether there were problems with any of these projects. If you'll notice, the agenda is just to receive the report and review the report. And we're not to consider previous board action or anything such as that at this point. But we can bring that back on a future agenda if you wish to do so.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sykes.
And I think that would be helpful to bring it back if you would give the staff direction, and all I'd appreciate it.
Well, if the board would give staff that direction to bring it back.
Okay, then I have a couple of more questions on the third sheet. I think you've answered one of them. I think you said that the $54,000 is interest we're getting on the money that we haven't committed.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
And do you have a number for the interest that we're paying on the total amount? Is that one of these numbers?
I do not have. Do we know what the interest rate on our bond issue was?
Lisa Bognuda, Assistant Administrator. I don't have that with me today, and it's in my office. I'd be happy to give you a copy of the debt service schedule that has all the interest rates over the life of the bond.
What I'm looking for here is, what is the cost of the money that we're not using? What is this costing us? Because we're paying interest on it, we're getting interest on it. Do those balance out? Probably not. And it's
no. The interest rate, I believe, is that we're paying out is higher than what we're earning. If it was the other way around, we would be paying arbitrage, which is the if you're earning more than what you're paying out. But I can get you that schedule.
Because the reason I ask this is there was a question of last month as should we retire the bonds, call the bonds that we're not using the money for, if indeed there was a reason to, like we weren't going to be getting paid back from the state.
Well, the ERAF shift is only for 2 years, and when we get our property tax monies that we get every year from the county, we committed that to the debt service, to pay the debt service. So after 2 years, I mean, we have to make up the balance over the next 2 years, but in the third year, we'll be getting enough property taxes from the county again to pay the full debt service and actually have monies left over. So we felt that we did not want to retire any bonds, number one, because in the future, if there is an ERAF shift number 4, we should be guaranteed those property taxes, because when they go to the look-back year, we'll have debt service committed 100% for for debt service for the COP bonds. It was this year, in 2003, when we issued the bonds. If we had issued them in 2002, we would not be here today with an ERAF 3 shift. They would have not been able to take it. It's just we were basically 6 months or a year behind the curve. But what we did had good intentions, and like I said, we were 1 year too late. But in the future, we should be guaranteed that we won't have another hit with an ERAF 4 or 5.
Okay, that's all I have.
Any other comments on the status of our certificates of participation fund? Open it to the public for public comment. It's really getting slim. Glad you're staying, Mr. Fox. With that, no seeing no public comment, bring it back to the board. We need a motion. Mr. Wynn.
I move that we receive and file with the change of notation on item number 4 on page 2.
We have a second on that?
I'll second that.
I guess we can just do an aye vote. Can we do just an aye vote, Mr. Seitz?
Yes, that's going to be, do not need to do a roll call.
Okay. All those in favor to receive and file this report with the changes noted on item 4 for the Sheehy Road tank? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Thank you. Moving on, E5, our second quarter financial statements. I want to extend appreciation to Mrs. Bognuda for doing all this financial stuff so quickly. When I was in her office, you really couldn't see her because she was moving so fast. So, again, Mr. LeBrun, would you like to take this?
Thank you, President Bradley. I'll take it as far as I can here. Basically, what we've got is a mid-year budget report in front of us, from layman's terms, if you will. And I'd like to bring your attention to a few items, and then, of course, be happy to answer any questions you might have. Going to page 3 of the attachment, We run down by category. You can see the bottom line of total revenues. We're slightly ahead of projection, budget projection, 55.6. The next set then is our bills, if you will, our expenditures, and a summary of operations and maintenance expenditures here shows that we're slightly below 47%, if you will, projection. I want to show a few highlights there where we see that we are significantly above projection and that what I'd term 60% or greater above projection. Third line item, natural gas. That's basically driven by our Sundale natural gas well. What we save in natural gas, what we expend in natural gas, we save in electricity, which is a line above where you see we're below expenditure. And our natural gas pumping is more efficient than electricity. So we will stay on track with that. We may overexpend on natural gas, and we'll make that adjustment in next year's budget. Operating supplies, you see we're slightly ahead. And this, again, is operations and maintenance. I think that's reasonable, considered the types of business we run, water and wastewater district, that these costs might be slightly above. Permits sticks out. Permits and operating fees and 82% of budget. However, those fees are majority of them are paid up in the front of the year. And so that's not a constant expenditure across the year, and we do not expect to overexpend that budget. Our engineering fees are above our projection. We'll see an increase. We've seen an increase in the engineering fees to the district, and that is because your new manager is leaning a bit more on our district consulting engineer. and we'll make a change in the budget in the coming year to reflect that. That's what we're seeing there. Very bottom line of that page is audit. You can see that that's at 88.73%. Again, that's an expenditure that when at the beginning of the year, we don't expect to overexpend that audit budget line. It's just that the run of that expenditure came in the first 6 months. Mm-hmm. Running down then the page four, the second page of expenditures, we've got some here that are greater than 60% of expenditure, but they're relatively very small budget amounts. I'm looking at education and training dues and subscriptions. I think those might balance out on the year. Significant expenditure, legal, water council. You see that we're at 76% expenditure there. That's what it is. I guess I don't have an explanation for that. This board knows as well as I on what how these expenses are incurred and the importance of having a representation in the ongoing adjudication of the Santa Maria groundwater basin. Finally, we've got a non-operating income line I want to bring to your attention, and that is the property tax revenues. And what you see there is they're 26 or 27%, if you will, of our projection, and that is ERAF 3 impact. Mm-hmm.
So that $81,000 is going to be the end of it? It's not going to be any more than that?
No, because unless I'm mistaken, the state took an amount based on a previous year, and we have slightly more tax income than what they based that on. So they're taking, say it's $250,000, we actually receive something on the order of $260,000 or $270,000 annually. So we will see a small amount of income continue through this ERAF 3 shift over the next 2 years. It'll be a fraction, literally probably 5% of what we'd otherwise see as our income tax revenues. With that, then, I'd be happy to answer any questions the board might have.
Any questions, comments? Mr. Trotter.
I have a comment. On page 5, and on various other pages, there's an excellent pie chart. But the heading should be sanitized a little bit. What period? It ends 31st of December 2004, but the period it encompasses is not
right, which would be July 1. Yeah. It's a 6 month report, a fiscal year.
Excellent chart. What software is this? Do you know?
I believe it's right out of Excel. Yes.
Excel.
I've got it on Excel.
But you need the professional version. Yeah. If you just have the home edition, it doesn't do it as well. Anyway,
you did point out that engineering costs are up as a result of some changes in the office, different ways of handling things. But I note that plan check fees and such are up significantly over of what we had anticipated, which is also due to that same office shift of way of doing things, which is very positive. Mm-hmm. In other words, even though the general manager may not be checking everything, the people who are getting their plans checked are in fact paying to have that done.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. And so we're not losing value from doing things a little differently.
Right. Mr. Eby, do you have some items for comment?
No.
Mrs. Worsing?
No, thank you.
Okay. I just had one or two, and one is on page 3, under revenues, we have miscellaneous income of $57K. I'd like to have a miscellaneous income of $57K. Maybe staff could sort of give us an idea of what is under miscellaneous income. Gosh, that's not bad.
I will have to ask Lisa on that. That's not something we covered in particular. Did you hear the question? We've got $57,000 of miscellaneous income, and we'd expected something on the order of $28,000.
I was just wondering what made up miscellaneous income, just roughly. It's very nice to have that.
Right, so we can report back to the board on that.
The only other thing I had was on page 2, under fund equity, I was wondering what the acronyms CY and PY meant.
I know that now.
Oh, Mr. LeBrun.
Because I did check on that one. And that's current year. I mean, yes, current year and prior year.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I did ask you what SRF was. That's a state revolving fund, or our loan for the wastewater plant on Southland.
I think we'll be reporting back to the board a little more immediately than I thought.
Lisa Bogner, the assistant administrator. In the miscellaneous income, one of the large items was $31,465 in annexation fees from the Lynn Road annexation.
Okay.
That's the chunk of it. I will get the balance. I believe the rest of it is rental income, copy income, such small items. But the big chunk is the Lynn Road annexation fees.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mrs. Magnuta.
Copy income is what I used to have to pay for copies of the agenda. That'll go way down now.
Yeah, we're going to lose a lot of money. Ed. You're going to have to keep paying for those. Any other comments or questions from the board?
Just one suggestion.
Mr. Wynn?
Firstly, I love the report, and
it's good.
And I appreciate having graphs as well as spreadsheets in order to get an overall view. Personally, I could wish that we had bar graphs instead of pie graphs. I realize that's incredibly trivial. But the only reason I say that is because bar graphs then allow us to do previous year and current year comparisons side by side, which is very hard to do with a pie graph. Now, again, I don't mean for us to, if that's something to be done easily, that's nice. If it's tricky, don't worry about it.
Okay, any other comments or questions from the board? Seeing none, I'll open it up for public comment on our mid-year financial statement. Seeing no public comment, we'll bring it back to the board. I'd like to have a motion to receive and file this, or review and file, which we have reviewed it and filed.
I move that we receive and file. With an expression of appreciation to the staff who produced it.
Okay. Do I have a second on that motion? I have a second from Mr. Trotter. Again, we can do this with a
voice vote.
So all those in favor to receive and file our mid-year financial status report, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Carried. Item E6. Consultant services contract amendment by Mr. Reed for the rate study. Mr. LeBrun.
Thank you, President Verhaerlijk. This item is for the board's consideration of an amendment to the rate study that's currently ongoing with Mr. Bob Reed, and the amendment we're looking to amend the contract, considering to amend the contract to include a sewer and water capacity charge calculations, and including those with the current rate study, which those were not currently, had not previously been in the scope of work of the rate study. Additionally, the proposal includes adding additional workshops, rate setting workshops for
for in the public forum for both the board and I believe we're going to have to work a little bit harder and get the public interested here early on in these workshops so we have better attendance there, but we've, I think we'll do that. So I wanted to note that, as I pointed out in here, it's a pretty significant increase of the contract. I've spoke about that a bit in that the capacity charges, I think, are a pretty complex calculation, and that's reflected in Mr. Reed's budget proposal. I think that Mr. Reed has shown himself to be a professional at what he does, well-versed in this material, and he's also done well in our two previous workshops in presenting this complex information to this board and to the audience, and I think that that with that thought in mind, that staff can recommend that this proposal be approved, and that we approve that my recommendation would be that we amend our contract with Mr. Reed, conclude the calculation of sewer and water capacity charges, and do increase the project budget by $25,000, resulting in a total project budget of $61,000. If there are any questions.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. LeBrun. We'll open up to the board for questions, comments at this time. And Mr. Eby.
I don't have any problem with increasing the scope, but the details of what he's going to do, I'm having problems with. In your background, you said he's going to increase the project scope of work to include the water sewer capacity study, primarily in supplemental water. He's going to look into that. And what I don't understand is how can he examine the how to spread the cost of supplemental water until we know what the capital cost is.
Well, he'll have to base that on an estimated capital cost, which we're working through our preliminary engineering to achieve right now. And as I understand capacity charges, it's often the case. This cart is well in front of the horse. When districts need to project forward and say we're going to have this significant capital expenditure and we need to start assessing capacity charges for that expenditure, now, I believe there's some allowance to say, well, if the district decides 2 years down the road that, or a year from now in our analysis of a pipeline between Santa Maria that we are unable to do that capital project, I think it's fairly clear that the district's in a position of finding supplemental water. So we will have a supplemental water project, and then if the district changes its fees and assesses capacity charges for in particular a Santa Maria intertie supplemental water project, and then that changes in the future, then those funds can be redirected to the supplemental water project that takes its place. But it cannot be an accurate calculation. We won't have a firm number on that.
Okay. Well, if he's going to do the rate structure just based on a formula and the cost of supplemental water is capital is X, and he bases on a formula, then that's okay. But I was concerned that somebody thinks they know what the capital cost is going to be. And the thing that brought my concern is back on the previous agenda item when you had your construction of Santa Maria Intertie Pump Station and Transmission Main project, you had a number in there, $1.157 million. And I don't know where that came from. And
that's the balance of that fund. That's where that came from. Okay. That's all that is. That's, nobody is saying that that's going to be the complete cost of that project.
Okay, good. Yeah, that was my biggest concern, is somebody thinks they know what the cost is, and I want to know. I do want to know what the cost is, and if something has passed me by, I want to know what it is I missed. So that was my main concern in this the details of his rate study, is how can he do it without knowing what the cost is going to be? How can he spread that cost? So if it's just going to be a formula that based on a total cost, and he doesn't know the total cost, then yeah, I think he could proceed.
And
Mr. Wynn.
I agree with Mr. Eby, and I would like to take it one step further. This is something we've been asking for the last two or three years, actually, when we've been looking at this supplemental water, even before the MOU was signed with Santa Maria. If it's going to be a formula, that's fine. And we understand that there's no firm numbers. But I want to know the algorithm. I want to see the formula. In other words, if you can't fill in the gaps, fine. But I want to know what the formula is. Because we keep saying, well, don't worry about it. You know, we'll come up with something. And current staff did not take that approach. I don't mean to imply that. But I at least want to see the formula that's going to be used, because that is something we can critique and maybe improve. And if not, at least we'll have confidence that that's the best, most accurate formula that we can use.
And it is, in fact, that I think will be a product of Mr. Reed's work. He will, in our experience with him, is he'll define that formula, and we'll have an opportunity through our workshops then to dissect and completely understand capacity fees and how they're applied.
Then that means that he would be instructed to work with Mr. Dendy to look at the negotiations with Santa Maria about those numbers?
He has, as you see, a request for additional information then if we proceed forward, and that includes understanding the cost of Santa Maria water and its different factors that come into the Santa Maria water.
Right.
And I've discussed that with Mr. Reed and told him that there's a number of those items we're ready to provide him that information immediately. Some will take some more work, and I wanted to wait until we cross this bridge.
You might discuss that with him. Find out whether it's in his plans to do what you believe he's going to do.
Specifically as far as the breakdown of the Santa Maria water and how...
The formula is what the suggestion is.
I have one more comment on that same subject. In his last workshop, he specifically mentioned that this rate study does not include supplemental water costs. So now in the next workshop, is what he's doing going to be considered as pricing in supplemental water to our rate structure? Is that what we'll end up with?
I believe so. I believe that's where we talked about that, was that the capacity fees... I'll have to get more clear on that myself. I think one area of supplemental water that is not part of capacity is the commodity charge. How much is, and that's in breaking down, if we look at our projected acre foot per year cost through our memorandum of understanding with Santa Maria, I believe we need to break that down, the amount down as to how much of that is considered a capacity and how much of that can be considered commodity, and then both those numbers can be worked in to the rate study. But I'm not positive. I think the questions at that level are for Bob Reed to better explain to us as to how that can be incorporated. Not really clear. I don't know. I know that doesn't answer your question.
Well, my main question was, in the past, the rate study, the purpose of the rate study was to cover increased costs that we didn't see the last time we did a rate study. Okay. But he specifically excluded any cost of supplemental water in one of his charts. He said this rate study does not include any charges for supplemental water. And now what I'm seeing is he's being given a task that I think will include the cost for supplemental water. And my problem here is that we haven't adopted a policy on who's going to pay for supplemental water yet. Mm. And I don't want to just slide into this and have it get biased that we all of a sudden have decided, without debating, who should pay for supplemental water. I mean, there's really two issues. I'll bring this up in director's comments, and I think maybe it ought to be a future agenda item. But the question, I think we need to discuss who bears the cost of supplemental water, both the capital and the commodity, because it's going to be a higher price.
Mrs. Bognudis.
Lisa Bognudis, Assistant Administrator. Maybe I could shed some light on this. There are two kinds of rates that we charge The first is the monthly rates, the meter rates. And the rate study that Bob Reed has been doing for us so far has strictly focused on the monthly rates that the ratepayers pay. That does not take into account any supplemental water. You're correct in saying the rate study that Bob Reed has done for us so far is just to cover the ongoing costs of pumping the water out of the ground, paying our administrative and overhead, and getting the water to our customers. It does not take into account any supplemental water whatsoever. The proposal that we have in front of us now is to look at capacity charges. Capacity charges are for new homes being built. You as an existing ratepayer would never pay that. It's only for new developers that come in and want to build a house and hook onto the system. That's a one-time capacity charge. If in the future when we do get supplemental water and we have to pay ongoing costs, then that actually will be another rate study down the road where we will have to look at how to spread the cost of the ongoing O&M cost of the supplemental water to any and all ratepayers, whether they're new or old or whatsoever. So there's two sets of rates that we're looking at right now. One is just to cover our ongoing costs, and the capacity is for new development.
Okay, then maybe you can answer the question. You said when we figure out how we're going to get supplemental water, that's a study that will come down the road. Well, that's not this study. That's not this add-on.
No, the capacity charges that Bob Reed would be looking at now is not only what we're charging currently, but in addition to add a charge for future supplemental water, and he will figure out what he thinks is an equitable charge to charge new development to come in. And we're going to break it out, because when a developer comes in and pays capacity charges, the charge is to cover all of our existing facilities, our tanks, our lines, etc. So there's going to basically be two components of it. One is to cover the existing facilities, and then he's going to come up with some formula and add on a supplemental water component. If we, if we conclude that we will cancel or table the supplemental water with Santa Maria and we look to use it for a different supplemental project, the board can direct us to do so. If we decide that we don't want supplemental whatsoever, the government code requires us within 5 years to return that money to the developers. So there's going to be a component that only new developers pay, and it'll be in a fund, so to speak, that will be used to help pay for supplemental water, the infrastructure, not the ongoing monthly charge to deliver wet water,
But to determine that charge, what he ought to charge for the supplemental water increment for the new developers, he needs to know the cost of the supplemental water infrastructure.
Well, he's going to accumulate all of the information he has, and he is going to make an educated guess, and the board is going to buy it or not.
That's the key word.
That's the key, an educated guess. And if the board adopts that, then any new developer that comes in will then pay that new capacity charge. It'll go into us. I'll create a separate fund called Supplemental Water Capacity, and then the balance will go into our existing capacity to make sure we fund our existing infrastructure. And then that fund will build up and either pay for City of Santa Maria, another project, or refund within the 5 years.
Okay, so
but you have to remember, we're doing two separate studies. The O&M study that he's doing right now is just to keep us going. Okay. Does that help?
Yeah. So what you're really saying is there's going to be a component in there which is guess, and when guess becomes knowledge, there will be an adjustment in the funds.
That's correct.
Okay.
Hopefully he'll guess a little on the high side.
Well, I would hope.
And of course the board will be, will adopt any recommendations or make changes to his recommendations, so you will have the final say so on what is charged.
Thank you. You've educated me again.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further comments or questions, Mr. Beebe? Mr. Trotter?
There's a further complication down the road here, too. And that is, from time to time, we've discussed punitive levels, water costs. That's going to further complicate this thing when it's instituted.
You're talking about the rate study now.
Pardon me?
You're talking about the Reed study now?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, as far as conservation.
Yeah.
That final conservation hit.
Right.
Tier. Mrs. Worsing, any comments or questions?
I'll hold my comments for now.
Okay. I would like to open this up to public comment. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board and...
I do have a question for Lisa, if I could, please. This is, I thought maybe should have asked you over the phone, but we're currently under a rate increase program that was implemented, and it's going to go up. That their older rate increase is going to have another increase June or July?
The water rate increase was effective January 1.
Right.
And when Bob Reed makes his final recommendation, those adopted rate increases over the next few years will actually be repealed and a new rate structure will be in place.
Okay, well, that's what I just wanted to clarify that. And this has nothing to do with the cost of supplemental water.
The monthly rates, that is correct.
Yeah, not the monthly rate.
Yet.
Well, at some point in time, we've got to bite the bullet. Anyway, my comment is having this second study to look at capacity charges and those items would certainly be well worthwhile, if not immediately applicable to some degree in the future when we do get supplemental water, be it from whatever source. Having the studies and the algorithms completed, I think, is a worthwhile expenditure at this point in time. So with this, we need a motion and a second and a regular type vote. Do we have a motion to authorize staff to approve expenditure again to go ahead with this proposed additional rate study?
Okay, it's my turn. It's my turn. I haven't done one today.
$25,020.
I'll move that we increase the project budget by $25,020 per Mr. Reed's January 4th proposal. Period.
And approve an amendment to his agreement?
Yes, and approve an amendment, the necessary amendment to his agreement to allow him to perform this work.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Madam Secretary, you call for the vote, please.
Director Eby?
Yes.
Director Wynn?
Yes.
Director Trotter?
Yes.
Director Worsing?
Yes.
President Verhaeghe?
Yes.
Now, is this the right time to ask the question, or would it be... When is the next workshop going to be?
This is a fine time to ask that. I was going to bring it up in the manager's report, but that is just fine.
If you want to bring it up during manager's report, I think that's the time to do it. Because otherwise, I was going to bring it up in director's comments. Moving on to item number E7, Mr. LeBrun.
Thank you, President Verhaeghe. This item is back in front of the board on, based on the board's direction and our discussion at our last board meeting.
Would the chair consider a short recess before we begin this?
I'd be happy to consider a short recess. It is now 10:25. My God.
10:35. This is our last
10:35. 10:35, we'll reconvene at 10:45. 10-minute break. Customer service.